Okay.
Well, this morning, we're going to consider some things regarding the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yesterday at men's prayer breakfast, we looked at some things regarding believing. And Steve shared a record that happened on what was the 11th of Nisan, the year that Jesus Christ was crucified, which would have been Sunday, today. Today is, in the traditional Christian church, is known as Palm Sunday. And that is because of either Jesus Christ's first entry into Jerusalem or his second entry in Jerusalem. Not sure which one, because they consider both to be one. And that it took place on Sunday, when in fact, the first entry took place on our Friday, the second entry took place on our Saturday. And today was the day when Jesus Christ walked by the fig tree that he had cursed the day before. And Peter saw it withered from the roots. And so Jesus Christ taught them about believing. Then he went in and, in the city, cursed another fig tree. And it immediately withered. Well, this really blew their minds. And he again taught them about believing. And that day, which you can read about in the Gospels, is where he very effectively took the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians to task. So much so that they conspired to kill him, which he knew about before they did. Something, huh? So that's today. But for now, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. This is a record that's familiar to, I think, most of you, but this is where I'd like to begin. It's just a beautiful, very clear foretelling of what the Christ, what the Messiah would do. Verse 1 of chapter 53 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" This is a figure of speech, actually, in this verse. And the answer is very few. Kind of interesting, huh? 4. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows or pains, and acquainted with grief or sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed or appreciated it not. Surely he hath borne our griefs or our sickness, or pains, I'm sorry. He hath borne our pains and carried our sorrows." This "born" and "carried" is so as to carry away. You understand? I mean, he took it on and carried it away. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See? We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted out of ignorance. But he was wounded for what?
Our
transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what?
Healed.
We are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. I want you to turn to Luke, please, chapter 22. If you've spent any time in Scripture, you begin to see that God is a God of healing. That was one of his names. If you ever study the word Jehovah, one of his names was the Lord that healeth thee. That was his name. And we'll look at some scriptures a little later regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, who always did the will of the Father in his healing all that came unto him. Our God is a God of healing. And this record here is what is referred to as the Last Supper. It was not the Passover. It was the Last Supper. And it's referred to as the Last Supper because it was the Last Supper that he ate with his men. And there's a record here that I want to look at, and we're going to start in verse 15. And it says, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." At this point, Jesus Christ knew that he would not eat the Passover. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay. He is speaking regarding his suffering. The reason why he would not eat this Passover again until the kingdom of God come. And he's instituting something. He's asking them, telling them to do this in memory of him. He's instituting a memorial. And that memorial is to represent, first of all, his body. His body, which is given. This is something new. This is a brand new thing that's being introduced here, this particular memorial. Then it says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for who? For you. It is shed for you. Okay. His body was given for us. His blood was shed for us. Kind of reminds me of John 3:16. For God so loved that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. See? Jesus Christ, by his own free will, would sacrifice himself for us. His body for us. His blood for us. There was a memorial that had been instituted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years earlier that also had two parts. And it involved blood and a body. And it was known as Passover. I want you to turn, and we're just going to read a few verses regarding this, but I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Israel, at this point, was in bondage. And they were in bondage to Egypt. God had sent Moses. And up to this point, God had passed judgment on the gods of Egypt through the various plagues. There was one more to go. And in verse 1 it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months." So it would be the first month. At this time it was called the month Abib. It was then called the month of Nisan. Okay? It would be the first month in their sacred calendar. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house," one lamb per house. "If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls of the people. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening," or between the evenings is literally what it says. "Their days began at sunset. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Okay? So the house wherein they would eat this lamb of the first year without spot or blemish, they would take the blood of that lamb and they would strike the side post and the lintel, the header, with the blood. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw." They were not to eat it raw. It was to be cooked, roasted. "Nor sodden or boiled." Not to boil it at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence or the guts thereof. That's how they were to cook it. Something. "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." Verse 11. "And thus shall you eat it," just like this. This is how you're to eat it. "With your loins girded." Okay, they would gird their loins when they were ready to move or when they were ready to work. Otherwise, they would just let their robes flow. But when they were ready to do something, they would tie their robes up. Loins girded. "Your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in" what? Peace. "Your bags are packed. You're ready to go." That's how you eat this Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. You know, this is really something, because they had been in bondage for all these hundreds of years. Do you see the action that God was instructing them to take? Loins girded, shoes on, bags packed, ready to go. You don't have time to rise your bread. You eat it unleavened. You don't have time that you just cook that lamb on fire and eat the guts. Don't worry about it. You're ready to roll. See? Two parts, that blood, and then they were to eat it. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will what? Passover. And the plague shall not be upon you. That blood, that blood that they put over the lintel on the doorpost represented life to them. Because they were protected from the destroyer. Right? Absolutely. All the Egyptians lost their firstborn that night, not Israel, because of that blood over the lintel. That's what it represented, life. The blood of that lamb of the first year. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. And in Psalm 105, verse 37, it says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Isn't that something? And Egypt was glad when they departed. They left with all the riches of Egypt. And there was not one feeble person among them. Now, you know, estimates are that this was over 2 million people when you consider women, children, plus their flocks, all that stuff. This was quite a group. It was huge. 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 And there wasn't one feeble or weak among them. See? Which is a miracle. To have over 2 million people and not one sick. Not one weak. That eating of the flesh of that lamb was the eating to themselves health. That blood, that shed blood, is what protected them from the destroyer angel in that first Passover. And they were to observe that Passover like that. Now, God got more specific over time. It would be in the place where I'll choose to place my name. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But the fundamental thing that we just read in Exodus, the lamb was to be selected on the 10th. And so on. They were to keep the lamb. It was to be killed on the 14th. All of these things held. And they were to eat the lamb. And so on. I want you to turn to First Corinthians, chapter 11. And we see again, and we're just going to read a couple verses here, where these saints are being taught regarding that memorial that Jesus Christ instituted at that supper. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken or given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament or new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, proclaim, or preach the Lord's death until he come," or until he returns. You proclaim or preach the Lord's death. What was accomplished in his broken body, which was given for us, and in his shed blood that was given for us. See? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew 8, verse 16. "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet," which we read earlier, "saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." He bore as to carry away our sicknesses. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 7 it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our" what? Passover is sacrificed for us. In Exodus, it was the Lord's Passover. That's what it was called. Here, it's Christ, our Passover. Isn't that something? And just as that Passover, the Lord's Passover, had two parts, the body of that lamb and the shed blood of that lamb, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, which is what he was first identified as by John, sacrificed himself, giving his body on our behalf and shedding his blood on our behalf, carrying away our pains, our sicknesses. That's why he did it. Now I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Is it? Oh, I'm looking at 2 Peter. That's it. That would be a problem because it's not there.
23.
Regarding Jesus Christ, in verse 24 it says, "Who? His own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were what?
Healed.
You were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. This word stripes, it's marks or bruises that would result from somebody being beaten. We know from God's word that the period of time of the trials, the mockings, and the torture lasted approximately 40 hours before he was killed. And it was during that time that Isaiah talked about beaten more than any man. Beaten more than any man. See? And here it says, by his stripes, by those marks, by those beatings that he took, we were what? We were healed. That's the price he paid for our healing. Now I want to take a couple of minutes and look at this word healing. Okay? And I'd like you to turn, please, back to, we were there, I think we were there earlier, but Matthew 8. Because, and I wanted to share this because it was it's its first use. Matthew 8. The word healing here is translated whole. It's translated healed, healing. Its meaning is to be healed, to be made whole, cured. That's what it means. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 16, we read this earlier, when the evening was come, this is its first use, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and what? Healed all that were sick. See? Healed all that were sick. I want you to turn to Luke. I'm sorry. That is not its first use. Its first use is up in 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self-same hour. So here, it's regarding physical healing. Physical healing. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. We're not going to look at all the uses here, just a few. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 4, verse 18. This is beautiful. This is right after he was tempted. And he went to Nazareth, in verse 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal, that's our word, to heal the brokenhearted, the shattered hearted. And heart here, it's cardia, and it's put for the thoughts, the innermost thoughts, feelings, and emotions of a person. He was anointed by God to heal the brokenhearted. What is it that breaks a person's heart? It can be many things.
No love.
No love. Absolutely. That's one thing. There are many things that can break a person's heart. cause a person to be broken-hearted, shattered-hearted. But Jesus Christ was sent, anointed, to what? Heal. Heal that. See? That it might be whole again. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily here restricted to physical healing, although physical sickness could break somebody's heart, couldn't it? Sure it could. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. See? To preach that acceptable year of the Lord. I want you to turn to chapter 9 of Luke. This is the record of a man who had a child that had a spirit. In verse 38, he's my only child. And the spirit takes him and he suddenly cries out and it tears him, that he foameth again and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. And what?
He healed
the child. And delivered him again to his father. So here, it's a spirit. It's a spiritual deliverance. And Jesus Christ made that boy whole. He healed him. See? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 34. Verse 32, let's start there. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. He was paralyzed for 8 years. And was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. That's our word. Arise and make thy bed. And he what?
Arose.
He arose immediately. He arose immediately. Look at Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. Verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. For God was what? God was with him. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. There was one record where he told a man, he said, your son's sins be forgiven thee. That's oppression of the devil. And the Pharisees got all upset, said, who can forgive sins? He says, well, if I say be healed or your sins be forgiven, what's the difference? Okay, you're healed. It's oppression of the devil. Broken heart, that's oppression of the devil. Right? Sickness, is oppression of the devil. Issues with spirits is oppression of the devil. Jesus Christ healed all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. See? He healed all. That's the same word. First Peter chapter 2 says, by his stripes you are what? What do you need healing from? You're healed. Do you understand? You're healed. That's what the word says. God did it to a whole nation of Israel, over 2 million people. You know their shoes didn't even wear out? With a lamb of the first year. The shedding of blood of a lamb of the first year and the eating of that flesh. The Lamb of the Most High God sacrificed himself on our behalf. That's the kind of love and grace that we're talking about with our God. And so the word says, by his stripes you're healed. You are made whole. You're healed. You're healed spiritually. You are, because you've got spirit. You're healed. You need deliverance physically? Jesus Christ bore our... Right! That we might be what?
Healed.
Healed. And it really comes down to accepting and believing the words of God over the words of the world. I don't care how you couch it. That's what it comes down to. You know what's really cool? If we fall short, we're getting a new body. But in the meantime, we can go for what it is Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Isn't that awesome? See? And it doesn't hinge. You know, we were talking yesterday. The power isn't in believing. The power is in the Word of God. The power is in what he accomplished in Christ. You believe what he did. He brings his Word to pass, not you. You don't bring it to pass. You understand? He brings it to pass. See? I want to close with Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, the incredible grace of our God. It's just... In verse 12 of Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit or adequate or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power or the authority of what?
Darkness.
All who were oppressed of the devil. All were delivered from the authority of darkness. See? And we've been translated or transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. Isn't that awesome? That's part of our wholeness. We've been delivered from the exercised authority of darkness. That darkness oppresses. That darkness blinds. That darkness makes you sick. That's what it does. And Jesus Christ delivered us from that. When we believed on him, we've been transferred from the oppressive authority of that darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, which is light, deliverance, redemption, freedom. Isn't that beautiful? Healing. See? Now, am I good enough for that?
Yes. Yes.
Because Jesus Christ made me good enough. Am I good enough by my own works?
No.
Oh, no. No, no, no. So I don't even consider that. Right? Why would I spend any time considering as to whether or not I've earned something or am good enough for the gift, which means it's unearned, of God? See it? This is the stuff we drive into our hearts. You know, and when we have communion, when we observe that memorial that was instituted by Jesus Christ, established to the church of the body in Corinthians, we preach and we proclaim both parts. The shed blood and the body that was given for us. And by his stripes we're what? We're healed. That's right. So gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And for the opportunity that we have, Father, to walk in this. To walk in the deliverance that has been wrought. By the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. We're so thankful, Father, and humbled to be called your sons and daughters. Thank you for these things, for all that is ours. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.